The following program is brought to you by Chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide puts answers to your questions in one simple place. www.chemotherapy.com.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
Welcome to our Discovery Health podcast. I'm Will Johnson, and all this month we are focusing on cancer research. We'd like to welcome Dr. Len Lechtenfeld to our podcast this week. He is Deputy Chief Medical Officer for the American Cancer Society. And Dr. Lechtenfeld talks about targeted therapies for targeted diseases when he talks about cancer. Specifically, we're going to talk about a drug that's gotten a lot of attention recently. It's called Tykerb. At least that's one name for it. Dr. Lechtenfeld, first of all, give us just sort of a background on the latest information in cancer research. What's going on that's exciting in the world of cancer research?
What's really exciting is that we have invested a substantial amount of money and effort into understanding how cancer cells become cancerous. And what's happened over the past number of years, in fact, we're talking 30 or 40 years through all this research effort, is that we've actually learned how these cancer cells function. And within a cancer cell, there are various targets, and these targets may be something on the surface of the cell or something inside the cell that when they're activated by the cancer cell, they allow the cancer cell to continue on growing and multiplying. Well, as we've learned about these particular targets, what we've also learned is that we can interfere with those targets. And by interfering with the targets in the cell, we can then prevent the cell from doing what it does. And then what it does is make it a cancer cell.
Well, Dr. Lechtenfeld, how about some examples of this idea of targeted therapies for targeted diseases in cancer research?
The best example that many people are familiar with is a drug called Gleevec. And Gleevec was a drug that was researched a number of years ago. And what happened is the scientists learned about the particular place in a white blood cell, what we call chronic myelogenous leukemia. And in these leukemic white blood cells, we knew that there was an abnormality in the genes, and that abnormality is responsible for producing a particular protein. And that protein, in turn, made that cancer cell continue to grow. So by blocking the mechanism of that protein formation, in fact, the white blood cell turned from a cancer white blood cell to a normal white blood cell. And even recently, as recently as the late part of 2006, there was a follow-up report in the New England Journal talking about the 5 years since this drug has been in widespread use and what the results have been with the treatment. And the fact is that for many of these patients, it's very difficult, if at all able to find, the scientists are not able to find, evidence of cancer cells in the bodies of these patients. And many of them, in fact, almost all of them, have gone on to have full productive lives while they're being treated with Gleevec. And there have been some relapses, but not a lot.
Now, how would all of this then relate to breast cancer and treating breast cancer?
In breast cancer, when a woman is diagnosed with that cancer, we look at the cancer under the microscope, and we can actually determine whether or not it's breast cancer. And then we look at the cells for a number of other characteristics, and among them, whether or not that particular woman's breast cancer is sensitive to estrogen or progesterone. Now, estrogen and progesterone are hormones that women commonly take for the treatment of menopausal symptoms, but we also know that some breast cancers, have hormone receptors for estrogen and progesterone, and some of them don't. One of the other things we look at is whether or not there's a genetic abnormality called HER2, H-E-R-2. And if this abnormality is present, and it's the estimates are about 20% plus or minus of the breast cancers that women have are HER2 positive. So it's about 1 out of 5 women have a HER2 positive breast cancer. It usually occurs in younger women, and if it's present, it usually means that the disease is going to be more aggressive. And unfortunately, until a couple of years ago, although we could use a drug called Herceptin in treating women who have HER2 positive breast cancer once it recurred, we really didn't have an effective therapy to prevent the cancer from coming back. Now, we had chemotherapy that might work in some women, but for many of the women with HER2-positive breast cancer, adjuvant or preventive chemotherapy after the primary cancer was diagnosed, adjuvant therapy really didn't do as well as it did in other women who were HER2-negative. Well, having said that, a couple of years ago at a major cancer conference, there was a report, or actually several reports, that by using Herceptin, which is a drug that attacks that HER2 marker in the cancer cell, by using a drug called Herceptin or trastuzumab, early in the disease, that is an adjuvant therapy, which is after a woman would get her radiation therapy and then start her chemotherapy, if we use Herceptin, it really reduced the number of recurrences that we were seeing in these women, and it also reduced the mortality or the deaths from breast cancer in this population.
However, Dr. Lichtenfeld, my understanding is that not all women can actually take this drug. They don't respond well to it.
The problem has been, or the problem that we're seeing, is that there are some women who can't take Herceptin, and there are some women who will relapse after they have received Herceptin and they no longer respond to it. There's a new drug that was just approved by the FDA, a drug called Ticerb or lapatinib, that actually works by the same mechanism as the Herceptin. And for women who have a relapse of their breast cancer that no longer responds to Herceptin, Ticerb is now another option that's available.
Dr. Lichtenfeld, if you could expand, tell us more about then what's exciting about Ticerb right now.
What's exciting about Ticerb is that it's another drug that's based on the type of research when we look carefully at the cancer cell, and it is what I call targeted therapy for targeted diseases. We know more about how cancer cells function. We can design treatments that deal with those abnormalities, and Ticerb is another one of these drugs. Now, in the women who were treated with Ticerb and another drug called capecitabine, that was a combination therapy, those women who got the Ticerb, their disease took longer until it came back than the women who just got the capecitabine alone. Unfortunately, it did not prolong survival in either group, the group that got the Ticerb or the group that didn't get the Ticerb. Now, what that means is that the women who responded to the Ticerb, in fact, had a longer period of time until the tumor came back, but they did not live any longer as a group compared to women who didn't get the drug. That said, there are certainly some women who will get this drug who will do exceptionally well. And we shouldn't just rely on those statistics to tell us how women did with the drug, but understand that some women will do very, very well for a long period of time when they receive Ticerb.
How about the future? What do we know at this point as we talk about Ticerb? What do we know it will mean for women and breast cancer down the road?
What the future holds is uncertain when it comes to the treatment of women who have HER2-positive breast cancer. Remember, we talked about using Herceptin as an adjuvant therapy, and we've talked about using Herceptin as the treatment when the cancer comes back, and now we have Ticerb when the cancer comes back. Is Ticerb better than Herceptin? If we use Ticerb earlier in the disease, would that make a difference? And we don't know the answer to that question right now. And there are certainly going to be studies that look at the question about whether or not Ticerb is equal to or perhaps better than Herceptin. And there actually are some studies that are being planned that are looking at the two drugs together as an early treatment in women with breast cancer to find out whether or not a combination of the drugs may be better than either drug by itself. So what this all means is this is all part of, sometimes I say this is an evolutionary time, and sometimes I say it's a revolutionary time. What it is a very exciting moment in for those of us who've been spending our careers treating cancer. It's an exciting moment to see how all this research has come together, how the treatments are coming together, and at the end of the day, the people who are really going to benefit and are benefiting are the patients we treat.
All right, Dr. Lynn Lichtenfeld, once again, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer for the American Cancer Society. Thank you for joining us, and join us next week for another Discovery Health podcast.